Welcome, everybody, to the Digital Nomad Experts podcast by Beach Commute. Today, we've got Jeff and Marissa, and we are going to get back to our roots and talk about the top pros and cons of living as a digital nomad. So we've talked a lot about very, very granular stuff, specific jobs, different places to go. You guys have heard a lot of our podcast, but we wanted to get back to a very, very basic root behind why it is that we do what we do. So it might help you determine, is this lifestyle for me? Or should I continue living, you know, more of a sedentary, you know, living in one space type of lifestyle? Traditional is a good way. Yeah, traditional type of lifestyle. Fewer and fewer people are doing that, but, you know, could be for you. So what we want to do, we're really excited to talk about some of the things that we get really, really jazzed about when we live as digital nomads. And we're always very candid on this podcast. We're going to talk to you about a lot of the things that are legitimate drawbacks to living this type of lifestyle, right? So you can weigh both of these things and you can determine, all right, maybe this is a starting off place for me, or maybe, you know, continue with the traditional lifestyle. So before that, Marissa, we are both back in the States now. How is it feeling being
crazy
back home?
Yeah, it's nice now. If you had asked me like a week and a half ago when I got back, I might have had a different answer. Mm. Every time I come, especially, it depends where you're coming from, but I was in Costa Rica, if you've been listening to the past, and you know, but I was just, it's like one of my favorite places in the world. It's one of my favorite lifestyles of like the small town beach living where I'm like, my feet are in the ocean every day and the world is perfect because you're not there long enough to like really get all the bad things or get sick of it yet. And I came back to Atlanta and then I went to New York for a couple days and it was both like rainy and kind of cold and very cement filled and gray. And I was like, what have I done? Like, why am I doing this? Why did I leave? And I actually came back to go to an event that I was going to in New York. So I don't regret it. And now I'm back in Atlanta. Spring is kind of kicking in. It's actually been like 70 degrees and sunny. It's beautiful out right now. And I've had some fun things going on. So now I'm actually like feeling good. And I think the time away from my favorite places, I wrote this in our newsletter earlier this week. It really helps me to appreciate like all the places that I like really love more versus when you live there 365 days a year, I feel like you get used to like the ocean isn't as exciting. The sunset isn't as exciting. So to come and leave and like have the contrast is not a pro I'm actually going to talk about today of nomad life, but it wasn't my top one, but it is a big one. So yeah, that's how I'm feeling in Atlanta. It's very like neutral place, but I love being with friends and family and it's good. It's good right now. So how about you? You just got back to California after a whirlwind of travel to a lot of places and then a really fun week of wedding celebrations with a digital nomad friend. So yeah, tell us what you want to share about your most recent life.
Yeah, just getting back, not enough to formulate an opinion. I'm just kind of waking up and not sure what bed I'm in. And and oh my God, I got to go shopping and like there's no food here and the dog has no food. You know, just basic stuff, just kind of getting life. Oh yeah, I got to start living a normal life again, you know. But before that, made my previous like seventh trip to Colombia and then went to Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires was a lot of fun, so much stuff to do, a lot of exciting stuff. Yeah. I'd say one of the biggest pros to that is just the availability of things to do. Tango shows, there is like a horse track there, which is a surprisingly awesome little afternoon you can do. The parks there, you can just walk the parks for days and days and days and days. The markets are a ton of fun too. I've never seen like 8 blocks of markets, just as far as the eyes can see. It's just, if you're looking for a city that's just super, super busy and happening, that's kind of the spot. That was great. And then, yeah, Mexico City. I'm going to leave out a lot of the details. It was a very action-packed week with a lot of colorful digital nomads, colorful characters for sure. So, yeah, we'll leave out some of the details there. But, yeah, now back home and definitely going to be in recharge mode for a little bit.
Nice. Very good. Well, yeah, I know you had a fun week, and Mexico City is always good. So with that, I feel like we've kind of touched on even a couple of the pros accidentally, but
kind of did
not
brush
specifically
on that,
the ones, not even specifically the ones on our list, because there's just so many. So today we're narrowing it down to the top three pros and the top three cons of nomad life. As Jeff and I often do, he doesn't know what I've chosen and I don't know what he's chosen. So maybe we'll have the exact same three. It would be a good day for us if we do. Normally we have different opinions. I think on this one we're going to agree, but we often come from different mindsets and have new ideas. And I always am like, oh man, I should have chosen what you did. So I'm excited to see what
12,
comes on the list.
Or it could be six. We're good. Or somewhere in between.
Oh, balloons.
Oh, yeah, balloons. Yeah, it could be 12 or 6. We have no idea what's going to happen. I feel like there's going to be a lot of overlap between us and this one.
I think so, too. Or even, like, at least slightly. Yeah. Like, overlapping similar, even if we're calling it something different. And it was important to us, I think. I also want to mention, we could have just said, like, here's six pros of digital nomad life. But as you know, if you've been listening for a while, as Jeff said in the beginning of this episode as well, we like to share the realities of nomad life and share the hardships and the cons with you as well. Because while it's like the highs are very high, the pros are very pro, and the cons can be real big cons too, right? It doesn't come without its hardships. And Jeff and I and thousands of nomads that we know have still chosen this lifestyle in spite of the cons, because I feel like for my life so far, the pros have outweighed the cons, and that's why we have chosen this. But I love to chat about both. I think they're really important. So with that, do you want to kick it off with your first pro? I guess we'll start. Are we going to alternate between pros and cons?
Yeah, let's go pro con. Okay. Back and forth. Okay. My first pro is definitely going to be on your list, and it's once in a lifetime experiences.
It wasn't.
Okay.
No, okay. But it should be now.
Yeah.
I 100% concur. So tell us about that.
Once in a lifetime experiences. We've had an entire podcast on it. Within the last couple of weeks, don't have the podcast ready at the moment, but
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Thank you. Yeah. So what I'm talking about is when you're living as a digital nomad, you get access to these adventures that are nearby wherever you're staying. And they're really, really hard to get to otherwise. Like, say, for example, you're going on a quick vacation somewhere. You're squeezing in 1 week, 2 weeks, something like that. You might be able to do one of these once-in-a-lifetime adventures. You might have a couple stories in your entire life if you're just doing that two-week vacation type of thing, just because these places are so hard to reach. But when you're living as a digital nomad, it could just be next door. It could be one flight away and maybe an extended weekend, you know, take a Friday and take a Monday off. And all of a sudden you've got this once in a lifetime experience, but it was just a normal weekend for you, you know? And and looking back on the things that we've done, I can count like on two hands, just right off the top of my head, the things that I would think of as like, oh, you know, I would tell my theoretical grandchildren about these stories and, you know, over and over and over again. But I've got so many of these stories, you know, that would have
Yeah,
never
and those would be
had.
Like in the last year.
Just in the last year alone. I could fill it. And really, I mean, it's cliche to create a travel blog, but at some point I should create a travel blog because there's just so many things, know. You know, that I start to take for granted. And something else to talk about, perhaps a con, is you start to get a little jaded to some of these things, but like they really are once in a lifetime experiences. And you're just not going to get those. Yeah, for most people. Yeah, exactly. But you really only get access to the quantity of them and the quality of them by living as a digital nomad, for sure.
Yeah. It is funny. Like sometimes I talk about with friends, it's kind of like a running joke where if you were to go on a honeymoon, you're like, where would I even go that's like that special? Because you've lived like 1,000 honeymoons, whether it's like with partners you've had during your nomad life or like just friends that you've, you know, met on your travels.
Yeah, you're gonna go to Cancun.
Like, truly, if you think about if you think about most people's, like, if they're really even going on an adventurous honeymoon where they're like, all right, this is it, we're gonna like take 3 weeks off of work for the first time and go to this like far off place and have this, you know, special experience, that's like what we're doing on the weekends most months of our travel life. And so there are, of course, I joke, like still really incredible special places that we haven't gotten to yet. There's always more to explore. But really and truly, like, they're called once in a lifetime experiences for a reason, because most people living a normal, you know, 9-to-5 cubicle office work day with 2 weeks of vacation a year maybe have one of these huge adventures once a year, or maybe like once a lifetime, or like once a decade, like maybe once a year if you're a really adventurous person. But really, like you said, I could count six every year that I've done that are like these huge special things. And I remember looking at this magazine not too long ago. It was like a kind of like an upscale travel magazine that was like 20 like bucket list lifetime locations and meant to like choose one. And I was like, I've been to that one. I've been to that one. I've been to that. Like I'd been to almost all of them just in our travel years. And it's not that it's like that expensive, because when you're already in these, you know, near these locations, you realize you can find like really affordable ways to visit all these places that other people are spending like $15,000 to go on, you know, once in their life. So there's that. And also the, I'll pull up the episode. So it was, I think the one you're talking about was called 13 Cool Locations You'll Only Get to as a Digital Nomad. And that's episode 129. And Jeff and I covered a lot of just these types of like locations that we only got to because it was a little bit different than what you're talking about, but just because we were living this digital nomad life.
Another example, I've got a few friends that were just living in Buenos Aires, backpacking through Patagonia. Yeah. Patagonia is its own thing, obviously, but because they were so close, they're like, well, there's an opportunity to book Antarctica. And like, how, that, could you imagine trying to do that on a 2-week vacation, going to Antarctica? It's like, you just wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. It's just,
or it would be your whole year of vacation.
It would be your whole year of vacation. It would be all of your savings. And it was just like hopping over. And for them, it was easy. Like they just left that afternoon, took a flight, got on a ship, got off the ship, took a flight back, like 2-hour flight, and that was it. And they were in Antarctica for like a week. You know, stuff like that. It's just inaccessible.
And you also learn, I know through another nomad friend who I was just in Buenos Aires, like in Argentina there, and just did that too. She was saying like, you know, mostly when you book cruises to Antarctica, it's like really, really expensive for those things. But she was like, if you just show up, there's empty cabins that they'll give to you for half price. And you only know that because you're a digital nomad and you can just hop over on a whim, like on a Tuesday or a Sunday or whenever you want, and take, you know, a week vacation instead of 2 weeks and $20,000. So yeah, that's a great, great, great one, Jeff. And I feel like it's those once in a lifetime experience. It's like both places and also just kind of like bucket list experiences of like events and things that you're able to get to. So I didn't have that. This is why I like when we do separate ones, because we brainstorm like kind of different angles of it. But I fully agree. It's probably the number one. Like, well, there's a couple.
I nailed it.
I like these. I like all. I know. Well, you nailed it. That's good. Should I hop to the next?
Take yours.
Okay, so mine was just you get to see more places in the world. It's pretty simple. It's honestly, I feel like there's so many other pros, like kind of what you just talked about and a couple others that we'll get to, that are the reasons I have continued living as a digital nomad and loved it. And I've said this many times, but the reason I first became a digital nomad before you know, Instagram and podcasts exist in this way, I just simply wanted to see more countries in the world. I started realizing there was like a whole big map, and I feel like Pinterest was just kind of bubbling up, and I was like seeing all these travel photos, and I was like, I want to see all these places. Like I had never been to Asia and I really wanted to go. Thailand was weirdly just like the one in my mind that I really wanted to go to. But then when I started looking, I was like, I want to go to Zanzibar and Seychelles and Cambodia and Australia, like everywhere. I just wanted to go to more and more and more places. And there was a 0% chance I would get to all of them in my lifetime if I kept living the normal, you know, again, 9-to-5 office job with 2 weeks of vacation. I was just never going to get there. So I think for me, it was one of the pros I originally became a digital nomad, and I love it still, is that you just get to see as many places in the world as you want to without, you know, anything, very little holding you back. You know, there's some time and maybe just your energy and constraints holding you back, but like you see more. So anything you have, did you have that on yours like that, or anything you want
to
add?
Yeah, that's a great one. I think that's core to all of us digital nomads, and me in particular, because you see places in movies, you see it on like nature documentaries, and then and then you're like, well, I can go there. And the moment where you say to yourself, I can go there, is almost as exciting as just going there, just having that freedom.
Yeah, like if I wanted to, I could go tomorrow.
I could go tomorrow. And then making it real, like from what you've seen on TV, what you heard from other people, and then you're there. It's like, wow, this is it's a pretty big world, but it's also a small world. It's like, it's all fairly accessible when you're living this way.
Yeah.
But it's also, there's a lot to see. there's a ton to see, and there's so many cultures to absorb. And yeah, no, that's a great one. That's a great one, and it's a perfect reason for being a digital nomad. I agree. Concur. Yeah.
And it's wild to see. We're agreeing. I love when we agree. But it's funny as you say that. Like when I look now at people's Instagram posts or those travel blogs or the photos that come up or photos on a wall somewhere. Now when I look at them, it's not I want to go there. I would say 9 times out of 10, I say like, oh, I've been there. Like, oh, I went there. Or if not, I was really close by, or I could go tomorrow if I wanted. But I feel like I've been to like almost not, it will never be all of the locations, but like, I feel like I've been to a hefty chunk of like anything I'm going to see online. Like I've been to most of it, which is pretty cool. Like in my 30s to be able to say that. So there's still more to do. There's always more to see and do and places to go and get deeper into all the cultures. But it's pretty special to be able to just have the freedom to get to all these places in this lifetime.
All right. I guess we got to jump into cons now.
All right. So, yes. What's your first con, Jeff?
First con that came to mind for me was the lack of stability that you have with this type of lifestyle. And it's the first one that came to mind. So it's probably means it's the most prominent for me. and
talk about what that means.
This kind of goes back to the episode that we just had previously about slow mad versus fast mad.
Episode 137. So should you travel slowly or quickly as a digital nomad?
Yeah. So the faster you travel, the less stability that you have in your life. But in general, as a digital nomad, you're going to have less stability in your life than you are if you're living a traditional life at home, because you're going to have to find internet. You're going to have to find restaurants. You're going to have to find, it's like musical chairs. Your entire life turns into musical chairs where you thought you knew where things were. They're no longer there and you have to track them down. It's like a treasure hunt. It's like, where's my gym going to be? Where are the restaurants going to be? Where are the cafes going to be?
Right.
And it kind of uproots you every time you move, and then you settle down, you figure it out, and then you move again. You got to do it all over again. So if you are a one for stability, either go slow mad for sure. Stay 2, 3, 4 as many months as you want somewhere, as much as your visa will allow you. Or if you want insane stability, maybe listen no further. Maybe this is not, or listen,
life is not,
keep listening, but maybe we'll eventually talk you into it with some more of these pros. But if you do crave super stability, this really isn't a lifestyle of stability, and there's a reason for that, because we like adventure, and we like some of the uncertainty and the challenges that life throws at us, which could be a pro in a way too. It's the growing that you get from overcoming the challenges of a digital nomad. So you could take this con and spin it into a pro and say it's challenging, but we're being realistic about it. It's actually it's pretty unstable for the most part.
I would totally agree. Before I won't get in, I want to comment on yours first. I have my first one is like almost like a result of the instability that you said, but I love the way you framed it. And I was kind of thinking it and didn't quite have it on my list. So I'm really glad that you have it framed that way. And I think as a nomad, it's like you start to find other ways to have stability in your life, whether that's through your work, through your routine. Like I know actually people, you think you wouldn't like, I think a lot of people think like you don't want to work ever. That's I think a lot of people's dream. And I would love to not have to work ever. But there's something about like working when you travel that it's like my work is the same no matter where I go. And it gives me a lot of stability in that way. So like if I'm having a weird, funky day or I'm somewhere new or I'm alone somewhere, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to open up my laptop and work. And it like really gives me that stability. And then also, I know I've joked a lot with Diego. I remember one time, where were we? We were living in Thailand, where there's so much amazing food. And we kept going back to this one cafe that had the same like eggs and avocado for breakfast and like these smoothies that we really liked. And we joke, we're like, you know, our life is so unstable, just moving around all over, that we're like, we're going to go back to the same restaurant like every day that we live here because we need stability. Or like you find a gym that you love and you find stability. Or, you know, this many years into it, you and I think share this, we've both found really amazing nomad friends that even if we're moving, we meet up with similar, like our same friends or a different group of our same friends in different locations, because our friends are then stable even if we're in a different place together. So it's definitely one of the cons, right? Your life sometimes, mm-hmm. like sometimes you'll have the best day ever and sometimes you're like, I feel like I'm floating with nothing tying me down and I don't know where anything is and I'm tired and mm-hmm. whatever. And it feels very unstable and those days can be really hard, but I think it gives you resilience. Like you learn that you can survive with a lot of instability, but certainly there's days I think a lot of us, it's like, wouldn't it be nice just to be at home and know where everything is and have all the familiarity and safety and,
right.
but yeah, but then you don't get to see the world. So
yeah.
Take it or leave it. But anything else before I share my number one con?
No, go ahead and jump into yours.
Perfect. So mine, like I said, is I would say it's a symptom of that kind of instability that Jeff was talking about. And mine, if I could phrase it, is exhaustion. And what I wrote at first was like, it takes a lot of energy to plan, to actually, you know, travel on buses and planes and cars, to look on a map, to find a new location in a language or even letters that you can't even read. So really just figuring out new places each time you arrive somewhere and getting between place to place and sometimes planning it. Maybe you want to stay longer and your Airbnb is running out and you have to find a new place to stay, or you want to go somewhere new and you have to figure out what neighborhoods are best and where to stay and what mm-hmm. currency it's in and do you need a visa and, you know, all of these things, is that it takes a lot of mental, both physical and mental energy, and you can burn out. It's really tiring. It truly is. But there's a lot of ways we mitigate that. We've talked about it on some podcast episodes. Maybe we could do a really specific one about that. Might be good. But as Jeff said, sometimes you just move slower. Sometimes you go to an easier location. Sometimes you go back to a location you've been. Sometimes you go home for a little bit to recover. Or you just meet up with some friends who are already in a place and they know the drill and you can arrive and just sort of be. So there's lots of ways to handle this. And some days you just need a day of Netflix in your Airbnb when you're in the coolest place in the world and you don't leave your home. That's also nomad life. So anyway, there's ways to mitigate it. But I would say one of the biggest cons is just like the exhaustion that it pulls from your body to live this lifestyle. And I think a lot of people don't talk enough about that.
Yeah, it's totally true. Just the waking up, not knowing where you are. Have you ever had that before? You wake up in a dark room, you're like freaking out.
Yeah, I literally had that 2 weekends ago when I was in New York. I woke up in a hotel room and I opened my eyes and I was like, I literally have no idea where I am.
Yeah.
Where am I? Which way am I facing? What bed is this? What windows? What city? What country am I in? I've done that when I've landed on planes too. Like I've landed in a country and been like, where am I? what airport am I flying into right now?
Your body and your brain is just so discombobulated. Yeah.
Yeah,
it can absolutely get, and you know more about that than I do, the exhaustion from specifically from fast travel. You know, you can get it no matter what as a digital nomad, but traveling quicker is like, it just burns the candle at both ends, and you can definitely burn out quickly and you have to go into recharge mode. That's a great one.
Yeah. So back to the pros, I guess. What's your second pro?
Second pro, you already touched on it briefly, but it's the people that you meet. The little families, our digital nomad friends, we're all, I don't want to use the word similar. We are similar, but
we're very different people.
We're very different people, but we all have very common belief systems, I think. We all have similar, like, moral structures and things that build us and make us who we are. Like, for example, like, we're just naturally curious about the world. We want to learn from the world. Most digital nomads that I meet are fairly humble too. Like they're very interested in learning about other people, as opposed to they listen more than they talk in some cases, and maybe not in my case, but some cases they tend to be like probably some of the most top performing professionals that I know of, for whatever, I don't know what about this lifestyle attracts top performers in fields, but it seems to. Like when you look at the top performers at a company, when I was working at a company, there's like a pretty wide spectrum of just kind of seat fillers and some people that were just kind of lazy. And then you'd have your top performers. It seems to be just like a concentrated like section of the pie of digital nomads that are all pretty smart at what they do. Like as far as the spectrum goes, they seem to be on that far end of the spectrum. And I've made the best friends that I've had in my life as you know, as a digital nomad. And that is irreplaceable. And that's probably, oh man, number one was great. But number two, this one here, this could easily be number one. Because, I mean, without the people to share these things with, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, this really is such a crucial point to doing everything 100%. That we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Solo travel is fun, but it's not, it's not everything.
No. I was just talking to someone a couple of days ago, and we were saying it's, in my experience, like, I could be in the absolute best place in the world, and if I'm not there to share it with anyone, it's like, okay, like, yes, it's pretty or cool, but meh. And you could be in some of the worst, I say quote, the worst, your least enjoyable place, whatever that looks like for you, or terrible experience. And if you're with great people, great friends or partner, who, whatever that looks like, it's like the best, funniest memories no matter what. And like, you're going to have a great time. So yeah, I would say like the people have made my experience as well, without a doubt. And it's interesting, you have yours is specifically talking about kind of like the digital nomad friends that you've made along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like what you said, when I said like, we're different people, I think we all have like very different personalities. Like, we're a handful of personalities. Like, you get the spectrum of like some of the most fun people I've met in my life, for sure. But like Jeff said, it's like the type of person who has chosen to live this life, to find a way to make it their reality, it takes a special type of person. And I think maybe that's why you talk about those kind of top performers. It's like, you just, I don't know, it takes a lot of energy to over, you have to overcome a lot of obstacles and hurdles to decide, I'm going to find a remote job, I'm going to find a way to make an income while I go, I'm going to figure out a way to have a banking system while I'm traveling in a foreign country, I'm going to find a way to make friends while I travel. You have to be, you know, put yourself out there. And it definitely takes, like you said, the curious kind of explorative type of people. And I think also a type of person who doesn't settle for the norm, right? Who says like, okay, so this is what everybody else is doing. Who says I have to do that? Like, let me find another way. This is what I want. And it takes, I think, just a lot of courage. And it takes a very specific type of person to go out and do that.
So that brings it to your, is it your next pro? Or next,
yeah,
next pro?
My
yeah,
my next okay, hit pro. Me. Number two is you get to experience new cultures and just expose yourself to different ideas and viewpoints that you might never have if you just stay in your home country, city, state, town. This is not something I think a lot of people might look and say, oh, I want to go explore this culture or see what that's like. That was maybe semi-true for me, but as I look back on, like, if I stopped nomading today, let's just pretend for a second, I looked back on my, you know, almost close to a decade of nomad life, one of the greatest things I have taken from it is just learning that, like, everything I learned back home and everything that everyone believes back home isn't necessarily true. And it's really allowed me to say, like, what's important? Like, I've learned a lot about community through travel, about wanting to surround myself with people and not live an isolated life through travel, just about different viewpoints, about the healthcare system, about food, about money, about just people and religions and, you know, I don't know, just everything you could imagine. I feel like expanded my viewpoint through travel. And I'm really, really, really grateful for that, because I think for me, as I put it back in a very personal sense, I feel like I am living a more purposeful, like a purposely chosen life of things that I have now chosen to believe in, not because someone told me to believe. And maybe I didn't even know someone told me to believe these things, because it was just so ingrained in culture until I left and saw ways that other people lived. And so I just feel like my life is the best it can be because of what I've exposed myself to and will continue to do so. I don't think I'm done growing, but that is, yeah, that's my number two in a nutshell.
That was my number three. Was I just wrote,
oh nice.
I wrote, what did I write? Culture and perspective. Yeah. And
let me agree on one.
Yeah, I think it's like a personality building type of thing that you get, because when you live in an insulated community, whereas to say, if you're living kind of a traditional type of lifestyle, you don't get exposure to a lot of different thoughts. You kind of get your little microcosm of the way people think, and it creates a very us versus them personality, like your team versus their team, because you're familiar with one and you're unfamiliar with another one. That means they could be dangerous. Very like a tribal way of thinking. It makes sense. It's just like an evolutionary type of thing. But when you start traveling and meeting these other people, you do feel this worldness connection. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. These people are really not dissimilar from me. Like, most people have similar core values, you know, family, friendship, all these kind of things. And you start to realize, like, as you share with these people, they share a lot of the values that you do, and those barriers come down, you know. And it's hard when you come back to the States and you meet some of these, because I come from a very small town, and you get these very insulated perspectives. And it's like, oh God, just, I really want you to go out and travel a little bit. You need to get out there, and you need to meet some people. And like, this is some of the things you think of are pretty ridiculous. It's time to expand your mind a little bit. And that sounds very condescending. It's like, oh, I'm worldly and I travel and I've gone over the world. But it is really, it's the best way that I've gained perspective on different cultures and perspectives on the world, and makes it feel like we're more of a community rather than like a whole bunch of little tribes, you know? So I love that one. I love that as your number two.
Yeah, amazing. And before we hop to your second con, I want to say, if you're listening and this is sounding good or bad to you, or you don't, but if you do and you don't yet have a remote job that gives you the freedom to live this life we're talking about and experience these pros, check out beachcommute.com/nomadjobs, where we send out companies that give you full permission to travel anywhere while you work from them, the same way Jeff and I do, and the same way that everyone, thousands of digital nomads in our community do as well. So we'll send you a great email with companies hiring now, and that's beachcommute.com/nomadjobs. Anything else for that before we move to the second con, Jeff?
No, let's go to the second con. Second con for me is routines are difficult. And every routine that you have is suddenly challenged by temptation all over the place. temptation. There's temptation everywhere. There's, especially when you're traveling, people are going out. Hey, let's do a dinner. It's a Tuesday. Well, I wanted to have a low calorie. I was going to stay in. I wasn't going to drink. I was going to work out in the morning. All it takes is that extra dinner out and your calories went over. You didn't work out the next morning. You didn't meditate. You're late to work. Like, it's really easy to disrupt a routine when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Because everything is so fun. And I struggled with that when I first became a digital nomad. I was yes to everything. Yes to absolutely everything. At one point, I think I went out, my first chapter with Wi-Fi Tribe, I went out, I think, 17 or 18 days in a row. I did not stay one day. And
wow.
I suffered so bad for it. Yeah. And so it's like, it's routine is already kind of difficult as a digital nomad, just because you're trying to figure out where your gym, like I already talked about, like it does tie into con number one, stability, a little bit, but because it is already difficult to build a routine. But what I'm referring to mostly is all the temptation, like all the possible
temptation.
You're being teased every day. You're being teased with a new thing to do, a new way to spend money, new way to eat too many calories, a new way to not have a responsible afternoon or evening. And that just comes through growth and having done it, and
to learn to say no,
to be able to be like, all right, I've seen where this goes. I don't need to stay out till 2 a.m on a Tuesday. That's not necessary. So how's your personal growth going in that category?
Amazing. Have really learned to say, I'm not perfect, but I've definitely learned to say, no, I don't need to go there. I don't need to do that. I just have learned to kind of set those boundaries. It's really just learning how to not have FOMO, I would say, and really embracing the JOMO, the joy of missing out in our later years of nomad life. But the best I can compare it to, because it's so real. Imagine if you're listening and you've ever moved away from, maybe you lived in a city for a couple of years and you moved to a new location, or maybe you were in college and you left, and it's like, when you left that place, if you could remember I want to eat at all my last, like one last time at all my favorite restaurants, and I want to, you know, have one last get together with all of these friends, and one last get together with all of these set of friends, and I want to go, you know, look at this viewpoint one last time, and I want to go for this walk one last time because it was my favorite walk, and this was my favorite dessert, I got to stop there one last time. Like, imagine doing that every single month of your life, and it really adds up and becomes exhausting. So, you know, if you're in one place, like, think about when you were just in, let's say, Jeff, It might be your last night, but also your friends are coming and going all the time. So every week it's like someone's last night in town and they're going out to a thing and there's one special, you know, event that you just have to get to before you go and you have a limited time to do it. And so it's really hard to learn to say no. And I think for me, it's just after so many years of doing it, one, I'm like, I'm going to see you friends again. Like, I will keep seeing the people that matter, like, again and again in the world. And I've learned to stay in touch with friends. So that helps. And then with, like, the list of things to do or the restaurants go to or say no, I think I've just realized that these experiences just never stop if I don't want them to. And so I've gotten better at saying no because it doesn't feel once in a lifetime anymore. It feels like, okay, if I want to do this next Tuesday, I can and I will. So there's little moments every now and then with travel where it's like, oh, there's this one thing I really want to do in this location before I go that isn't anywhere else. But I've also, I think for me, learning to accept that, like, I don't have to do every, like, top 10 things to do in this location. They're usually not as cool as just normal life there anyway. And I think that's been a big game changer for me. It's like, okay, I can always come back, or if I don't see it, like, I can't do and see everything in the world is what I've realized. And so I've kind of learned to accept that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So should I move to my number two con?
Yes. Two con.
Okay. So this one might seem really trivial if you haven't lived nomad life before. Jeff, I think you'll somewhat agree with me, but I really miss just like having bulk things. Like I've talked about this on an episode, I think a really long time ago, but I mean like a big bottle of like the shampoo and conditioner that I like that I've ordered online, like the supplements that I want to take, or like even like contacts for my eyes, like just feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm going to run out if I don't go find some or go back home in X number of days, or like a big bulky like sweatshirt.
That's what it was. The like, big bulky sweatshirt.
Yes. Jeff laughed at me last time. Number one thing I miss while traveling.
Sweater weather.
Yeah, or even just like a bulk amount of, not that I need like so many clothes, but I live out of a carry-on, I think you do too, and a backpack when I travel. And it's like when I go home now, I'm like, oh, I have a closet of things and choices. So I just miss having like that easy access of like there's always having what you need in a bulk amount that you're not going to run out of or that you don't have to find a way to like pack into a carry-on somehow. So it's like, I feel like you get really nifty is the wrong word. You get really like crafty, I don't know, with the way you travel and what you travel with and how to like make things last longer. But like I would say a con of nomad life, I'm like, I don't want to just use like a little bit of shampoo so it lasts me till I have to fly to my next destination. Like I just want to use what I want. So anyway, it's like there's lots of little parts that go with it. But I would say one of those cons is like if you like your creature comforts, and I feel grateful I'm not one that needs like lotions and potions and all the things, but I know for a lot of fellow female travelers, they will carry bigger suitcases, and males too. I know a couple of males who like want their certain beauty products and big things, and it's just, it's harder as a nomad to have all those things and like go long term and figure out how to navigate that. So it's totally doable and it's totally a first world problem, I guess, or we're probably not saying that phrase anymore. It's a good problem to have, but it's still like a con to me. It's one of the things that I'm grateful for when I go home. I'm like, all the things. So yeah, any thoughts on that one, Jeff?
Yeah, it's just little, the creature comforts, slippers. Like sometimes you just miss your slippers. There's no room to pack
my fuzzy socks.
Yeah, there's nowhere to pack my sweatpants or anything. And I'll go and check the bag and be like, oh, that's right. There's no room for sweatpants in here. Damn it. It's just little stuff. And you know, like you said, they're privileged comforts to have. You don't need it.
Privileged.
But it's also, like it's also like, it's nice that I had a place to store all that shit. And now I don't have enough of place to store all that shit, and now it's gone. So I totally agree with you. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's funny. And I actually think a pro that is not on my list, but just kind of with this conversation, a pro is actually you realize you don't need as much as you thought you did. And actually when I come home, I'm like, I want to get rid of a lot of clothes. And I want to get rid of a lot of things because I know how much I can live without. But there are just some more things that I would love to have while I'm moving around. And the slower you move, the more you can have as well. Like the people who I know who really stay in locations for 3-4 months at a time might bring 2 big suitcases and have more of the sweatpants and the fashion and the things that they like. So it really depends on your style. But the way you and I travel, I know we don't really bring much of that.
I don't have much to bring anyways.
I've got you don't. You're a very simple man.
Very, very simple, yeah. And then the other people I travel with, it's like they got this huge packed bag and get into their room and they just like, looks like they set off a firework in it. It just explodes clothes all over the place, hanging off the fan. It's like, where did you get all this shit? This is wild. Just packed an entire house into a suitcase.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's number two. So what's your third pro?
Well, you took mine. Actually,
yours was similar.
Culture.
So yeah, should I do my third?
Yeah, do yours because you stole mine.
So my three was actually almost your number two, but we actually had a twist on it. So your number two was that you basically like the people you meet, but yours was the fellow digital nomads. And mine encapsulates that, but I just said getting to meet new people from all around the world. So to me, that was both nomad friends and also the joy and privilege of meeting non-nomads and just exposing. It kind of goes back to like meeting people with different viewpoints and cultures, but really about the people instead of just like the culture itself. But as Jeff said, like I think I wholeheartedly support your movement of like the digital nomad friends. That's absolutely who I spend the most time with when I travel, because that investment of time with them, like I keep seeing them in, you know, 10 different 13 different countries all over the world, you know. But to add to what we already said with that, it's also getting the joy of an exposure to people who are front, like maybe not nomading and live a very different life, whether that's like in a rice field in the middle of nowhere, Vietnam, or in a tribe, you know, in the desert in Namibia, or even just, you know, someone in Paris, like anywhere, just to like meet people who maybe haven't chosen this lifestyle, but just thoroughly live a different life and have lessons and stories to share that like are just amazing to encounter. So I would say just like the encapsulating as a whole of just people from around the world that I have had the privilege to meet.
Yeah, that's a great one. Good extension. And I completely forgot about that. It's like, oh yeah, there are other people that are not digital nomads. Yeah, true.
It's really, I'm curious, this is like a semi side tangent, I won't go too far in, but I know a lot of people who like almost look down sometime upon nomad life, because as a digital nomad, when you are moving so often, Jeff talked about like the instability that you have, you find stability in your nomad friends and your people. And so when I travel, I often invest my time into making other digital nomad friends instead of necessarily like really befriending and immersing myself with people in a local culture. So I do know some of our nomad friends who are like, I hate that about nomad life. I want to move to, you know, Mexico City, and I want to like be friends with people who are from Mexico City and live in Mexico City, or, you know, whatever location. To me, I haven't invested that same thing because I know I'm going to leave that place in a month or so, and it doesn't make sense for me to like fully invest that time. If it happens naturally, great. Like I love when I meet people who are local and can make friends, but I know, like you said, we almost forget about it sometimes, because like instead of meeting someone in that city, we have friends from so many different countries, but they're just living a nomadic life as well. They're not necessarily in that country when you meet them. I don't know if that makes sense, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's weird. I've met people in I just assume everybody's a nomad now. And so it's so weird when I meet people in other countries. I just like, oh, yeah, so where are you traveling to? It's like, oh, I'm not. I'm like, oh, wow, how
you
interesting.
Live here?
You live here. What is that like? You just live in a different country? That's interesting. Yeah, no, it's really interesting meeting people from. And I particularly enjoy that because you get, again, you get a very different perspective because they're.
Yeah,
we are transient and we're absorbing little bits of stuff, whereas the other people are the people living there are the ones that we are absorbing from. They're the ones with culture.
Yeah.
And they're the ones with the roots in the ground, and they're actually getting a feel for it. So yeah, it's really interesting meeting people on the ground, and it's normies, expats sometimes even. Yeah, sorry, I lost the train of your question. What was your actual question?
Jeff is like literally like just thoughts bubbling out.
Thoughts are bubbling out. Yeah.
Unimportant. We're just talking about meeting local people versus like making friends with nomads.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. I think I needed more protein. All of a sudden, my brain started going into space cadet mode. It's like, oh, people.
isn't that nice? But actually, yeah. Just one quick note of what you're saying, then we'll move on to the last con. I think when most people meet me and when they meet you or meet any digital nomad, we're like, it's like spotting a rare animal. They're like, you're one of those nomads I've heard about. Like, you're real. You exist. It's like Santa Claus. And it's so funny. I want to point out, I think it's really important if you're listening to this episode, what Jeff was just saying is like, as a nomad, we forget that other people don't live this life because there are truly so many people out there when you surround yourself with other digital nomads and with other nomad friends that I too forget that anyone doesn't live this lifestyle. So for what it's worth, I think it's a really, really, really important lesson to know that it can become very normalized. There are a ton of people out there doing it. Once you meet one, you meet us all, you know? Yeah. But until then, it might seem like really rare and really elusive and really impossible for you. And what I want to offer you is like, it's absolutely not. We share so many, you know, tips and tricks and tools and remote jobs and companies. So if you're not on our email list, check out beachcommute.com/email and get on, because we're sending out these opportunities and normalizing this lifestyle, because I swear it is absolutely possible for you. So that was a side tangent that who knew that was going to go, but I feel really passionate about it. So with that, Jeff, what is your third and final con?
Third and final con is work is harder when you're traveling. And it just really smacked me in the face when I got home, because my desk is set up. My comfortable chair is at the right height. I've got drawers. I've got good internet. I've got everything right where I left it, exactly the way I like it. Everything is organized. Whereas, like, when you're traveling, it's just a roll of the dice. You can plan a little bit. You can look into the Airbnb photos. You can plan for your, we've talked about all this stuff, like make sure that you've got good internet connection and stuff. But you're still never going to be perfectly as productive as you are at home. You might have a big second monitor. You may have better lighting that you've curated. You might have a perfect work environment. And when you're traveling, it is a little luck of the draw, you know? So it's just straight up. You can, and we do it. We travel very effectively while we're working, but it's never going to be as easy as when you're just sitting at your home desk, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
There's not.
Yeah.
And you kind of accept it, but I hope I remember both of these stories. I feel like I'm gonna start one and forget the other, because that's the way our brains are working today.
That's fine.
When I was just in Costa Rica, like literally a couple weeks ago, someone came over to our house, and we're, you know, you have this place and you're looking out the ocean. It was this woman who's retired. So I got to know a lot of people of all ages there, and I had a bunch of people over to our house one night for dinner. And she was sitting there looking at the view, and I was there with me and our friend Danielle. And she was like, so you really work while you're here? We're like, yeah. And she was like, how do you get anything done, like, with this view here? Like, she's retired, enjoying Costa Rica, not there working. And Danielle was with, she was like, I just don't. I just don't get as much done.
Yeah.
And at first I wanted to, like, argue, because I was like, what? Like, you can get just as much done, but sometimes you just don't. Like, sometimes you have a pretty view and distractions of a beach or, as Jeff said, activities or dinners or friends or whatever that might pull you away some, and you just might not be as productive. And I do remember the second part that I wanted to say was, when I first started this lifestyle, I had started my own business, and I remember coming back from Asia and talking to my dad, and he was just asking me about, you know, the work and productivity and lifestyle and all of that. And I was like, especially there, because I had a 12-hour time change, and so some of the phone calls or things that I was working on just kind of took longer to move along. And he said to me, he asked, I was like, you know, I'm probably, I would say, 80% as productive, like, when I was there traveling versus back at home. And it could be more or less depending on what you make of it, but that's what I was doing at the time. And he was like, well, why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you just stay home and be 100% productive so you can, like, move stuff along faster on your business? And I was like, because I don't get to see the world that way. Like, to me, that 20% lack of productivity is and has been worth it to experience what we have experienced in this lifetime, and the travels and the people and what I've learned and everything I've done and seen along the way. And there are times where I've come back home, like, I was home almost 6 months at the end of 2023, because I was like, I want to be in one place, and I want to have my head down, and I want to just work. And I was doing that. So you can still choose to, like, go back home and be productive or stay somewhere longer and be productive. But the distractions are real. Like the FOMO that we talked about, like it really does pull you away. And but yeah, I also get back home like you and I'm like, oh my gosh, my monitor and the keyboard. Oh, I have a keyboard when I go. But yeah, it just feels like easier to work. And you know you have your desk and your setup and your non-distractions. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Do we have a last, is it the last con from you? Or is it the last?
I do. Yeah, and I think you'll agree. And I'm surprised it wasn't on yours. But it's just being away from family and friends back home. Events as well. I would add your dog to that as well. Yeah, people being away from just pets, family, friends. I was going to say events. And there definitely are some events that I miss. But I do tend to travel home for really, you know, if it's a important, whether it's a wedding or a, I don't know, some sort of holiday or something that I want to be back for, like I do. But to me, it's like those everyday interactions where, you know, as like parents get older or my niece and nephew are growing up, it's like hard to be away from those months. And I feel so grateful when I am home for, you know, a month or two or however long I'm back to just like get in those normal, just like, you know, a Sunday night dinner with my family or like taking my niece and nephew somewhere fun or whatever that looks like, being with my friends from back home and all of that. So that is one that, again, it's like I don't know, I think I actually end up seeing a lot of friends and family more when I am home because like I leave because I know it's sometimes limited, but I still wanted to see the world and have all the experiences. So it's sort of just managing the balance of both of those. But yeah, anything to add to that?
Surprised that wasn't on my list. That's a great one.
I know.
Yeah, it's such a draw for me because I get along so well with my family. I've got my dog here, and it's a recharge point for sure. And if I didn't have such a strong, close family, I probably would be on the road a lot more. It is like a magnet for me. So that's a good one. Approved.
Approved. Good one. Yeah, and you get to choose. I think, like you said, I have a lot of nomad friends who aren't close with their parents or siblings or, you know, don't have that draw to their hometown or city or have that left even, and they don't really go back home in the same way that maybe you and I do. So yeah, there's all different ways you can live and choose, but I think just having the freedom to be home or travel or do whatever and have that choice is what I love. So with that was a lot of ground we covered. Any overarching thoughts, last words as we close out these pros and cons?
Yeah, if you have any other questions or doubts, write us in hello@beachcommute.com. You guys write in all the time. Really, really good comments. We get a lot of good podcast ideas out of your comments.
We love them.
Please send us any and all questions, podcast ideas. We will read them and we will sometimes make entire podcasts out of them. And we will definitely respond to you in email. Other than that, anything that you have to add before we close it out?
That is it. If you want to leave a little review or a 5-star, whatever that looks like, wherever you're listening, we love that. It helps the podcast grow. And other than that, we're so grateful. We love you, our listeners, and we will see you next week.
Okay. Bye, everybody.